Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Friday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny on January 14th, 2022. The wait is almost over. The NFL playoffs are just one more sleep away, and then we get the big, juicy, three-day, six-game slate starting on Saturday. Danny, I can't wait. How are you?
It's the good stuff, my friend. You got other little morsels in there. You get some Caps playing finally. They take like a week off between their games, it seems like. The Wizards are going to play, but you know what the real meal is. You sit down, your steak, your potatoes, your delicious milkshake, if that's the way you go. Oh, it's the best, Jerry, the best.
Football Friday on Grant and Danny, presented as always by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. We've got a great show planned for you today. Benjamin Solak of The Ringer, always very smart, joins us to preview these games coming up in 1 hour at 3 o'clock. Trey Wingo, who for many, many years hosted NFL Live on ESPN, is now doing his own thing, is going to join us for his weekly appointment throughout these playoffs. He stops by at 6 o'clock tonight. And by the way, we do have tickets to go see a comedy show everyone wants to be at. And we're giving those tickets away at the end of this hour, right around 2:53 or so. So make sure you're listening at that time. So that's your quick lay of the land. But Danny, I thought, what better way to open up this Football Friday and this final show of the week than to start looking ahead to the NFL slate that lies ahead? We've got six games. The first of them kicks off in about 26 and a half hours tomorrow, the Raiders and the Bengals. So let's launch into our preview of what they call now Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. First game, Raiders-Bengals. Here's what I don't get about this game. The spread still is about 5.5 points, down to 4.5 in some books. Cincinnati is favored. That makes a lot of sense. What I don't understand is, why is nobody giving the Raiders a shot? I looked at the predictions from the experts. CBS Sports has 8 people picking the game. They all pick the Bengals. ESPN has a bunch of people picking the game. Only one of their experts are taking the Raiders. 7 of the Athletic's 8 experts that pick games are going with Cincinnati. I understand that the Bengals should win this game. Nobody's giving the Raiders a chance, and that doesn't really make sense to me. By the way, didn't we just learn? Nobody thought they would beat the Chargers. And here they are, the team that moved on to play Cincinnati.
This feels to me like we're basing a lot of this off of what happened in November, when Cincinnati absolutely took the Raiders to the woodshed. I mean, they kicked them all over the field, beat the hell out of them. 32-13 game, rather. It wasn't even that close.
See, I disagree with everything you're saying completely.
You don't think that's why no one's giving the Raiders a shot?
I don't think the game played out the way you're saying. Do you know what the score was after the third quarter of that game?
Not off the top of my head, no.
13-6. If you remember, that was a close game. Everyone keeps acting like they got blown out. It was 32-13. I think there was a late pick six or turnover in that game that went the other way. That was a one possession game. It was 13-6 at the start of the fourth quarter. But everyone's pretending like they got destroyed.
So allow me to retort via Samuel Jackson. I think people are treating it that way. That's why no one's giving the Raiders a shot. My hand's up. I'm giving the Raiders a shot. I think it's a close game. But I think everybody's going, oh, look at the score. This is what happened. Cincinnati dominated the game. I think that's colored everybody's opinion of this thing, that Cincinnati is head and shoulders better. Here's the thing. Nobody knows how you're going to react in that postseason environment. No one knows. Sometimes the first-timers that walk in there and do it do just fine and end up being great their first postseason. Other times, that moment's a little bit too big, and there's no replacing it. I know Joe Burrow played in front of 117,000 people down there in the swamp, and I get he's played in big games. It's an NFL playoff game, dude. This is a different animal.
Joe Burrow in gotta-have-it like elimination-type games in his life is flawless
yep.
in terms of win-loss record, if you do that kind of thing, and has always had big performances, so I do think that's part of it. The weather forecast in this game, Saturday afternoon, in Cincinnati, Ohio, 32 degrees, 10-mile-per-hour winds. This is the head coach of the Raiders, interim head coach, trying to become the permanent head coach, Rich Bisaccia.
It's going to be the same for both teams. So, I just feel like they're prepared physically to do their job, and they'll get a feel for what it's like in pregame. I think we've played in Cleveland, and the last couple of years, the weather has been great. So I think they'll do a good job in pregame and getting a feel for the weather, the wind, the field conditions, whatever they are, and they'll be expected to go out there and play well.
I think I'm leaning right now. We're going to do our confidence points picks at 5 o'clock today. By the way, we're coming down the stretch here. Ryan and I are tied for first. Darris and Danny are right now scratching and clawing to not be an intern for a day in last place.
I'm not tied for last. I'm alone. I got that sewn up. With a couple more good efforts, I got this thing.
No, but you and Darris are right there.
We're close.
One of you is going to be the intern for the day, although you could catch us.
In theory.
Ryan and I could have a couple of tough weeks in a row and be in the bottom.
You guys could just not submit picks for a couple weeks just to see.
I'm going to submit picks.
What if you forgot?
Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll remember.
So fun. Just don't submit them.
I'm looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right here. Mm-hmm. I see Vegas +5.5. Now, I'm not ready to make my pick for the 5 o'clock segment yet. But my gut feel would be to take Vegas +5.5
Same here.
In this game. I should point out, though, if you're into this kind of thing, the Bengals have pummeled the spread here lately. 4-1 against the spread in their last 5, 6-2 against the spread in their last 8, 5-2 straight up in their last 7 games against an opponent in the AFC. Now they're swinging across here to play the AFC West. Do you care at all about the Raiders, an indoor dome team, playing
yes.
outside in the cold this weekend?
I'm still old when it comes to that stuff. Even though there's been plenty of articles and there's all the sports science stuff at work about how teams travel west to east and you know how you could take care of your players better and some of the maintenance that goes in, I still do the, they have to travel east and it's cold. It's antiquated, it's outdated, but I can't escape some of those things. I do care.
I think that stuff still does matter some. There are certain teams that handle it really badly. Seattle over the years, as an example.
Yeah, the Saints always used to handle it poorly.
Really, really bad when it comes to flying cross-country. All right, let's move to game number 2 on Saturday. Remember, we've got just 2 games tomorrow, then the full 3-game slate on Sunday, and then the Monday nighter with the NFC West taking center stage. Tomorrow, 8:15 East time in primetime, the New England Patriots, the Buffalo Bills. This is a rubber match between these two rivals. The current spread is Buffalo at home, favored by 4 points. Patriots catching 4. Kind of nice if you can get the field goal and some change there. For New England, the first time they played the Bills, they destroyed them. But they designed the weather in a laboratory. I mean, basically, it was like a video game where you go, how do I beat this team that doesn't want to run it? Let's have 40-mile-per-hour winds, and let's make it be really cold. The weather forecast in Buffalo, New York for tomorrow night, it's going to be frigid. But wind is not supposed to be much of a factor. For tomorrow in Buffalo, Danny, it's going to be around 8 to 12 degrees. Wind chill is going to be at times for this game maybe as much as minus 20. Can you imagine being a Bills fan sitting, not playing where you get to run around and sweat, but just sitting in your coat in the stands in minus 15 wind chill?
And it's just what you do.
11-mile-per-hour winds, not nearly as much an impact perhaps mm-hmm. as the first time these two teams played.
This may be, of course, the kiss of death, but I love the Bills here. I love this Bills team in this game. Basically, New England won that first one because it's the windiest wind that ever winded, and they knew what to do, and Buffalo didn't. I think Buffalo knows what to do. If it's not windy and ridiculous, this is going to be the Josh Allen is a Superman type performance. He'll have a few passes here and there to Diggs and company, and you'll see them move the football a little bit. Singletary's been running it well down the stretch. but this is going to be a Josh Allen superhuman performance. He's not going to be affected by the wind. I think the Bills, I don't say they romp because nobody's going to destroy New England, but I think they're going to be the better team.
The Bills down the stretch this season, as these two teams have kind of gone in different directions the last few weeks, got their footing and started to play much better football. They lost an overtime game where they were up, couldn't finish against the Tampa Bay Bucks. They then destroyed the Panthers, beat up on the Patriots, the kind of comeback. That first game was a fluke because of the weather, resilient performance. And then they doubled up the Falcons before tripling up the Jets almost in week 18. They finished the year the way Sean McDermott wanted them to.
I think you could say the same for our entire team. Very, very resilient group. You know, just the ebbs and flows of any season, as I've mentioned before, of this season in particular, where, hey man, this is type of year that could have gone in a different direction. But the resiliency of our group as a whole has gotten it to where we're in the playoffs, we win the division again, and I think there's a lot of traits from that part of our season alone that you can use going forward.
McDermott's Bills, since that Patriots loss in five games, have averaged 29.4 points per game, 4-1 during that stretch, including the 12-point win against New England. Now, you mentioned Josh Allen. The national narrative here is this is going to be the Josh Allen game, and you just referenced this. He got that massive contract this offseason, remember?
Yep.
I would make the case there might be as much pressure on Josh Allen this weekend as anybody in the playoffs. If you want an individual player, the spotlight is bright on, that has to be great. We all know what Josh Allen is. He's a perennial MVP candidate. Yep. But we also know how the media works. If they lose, this, would you consider that one and done, or are you just done because you didn't get one?
You didn't get one. You're out in the first round. You're out. You didn't even get a chance to have one.
Don't they still call that one and done?
I guess they do because you got one game and you're done.
I don't know. If they lose and he doesn't play well,
and it's to this workmanlike Patriots team,
exactly,
yeah,
with a rookie quarterback who's just kind of okay in Mac Jones. By the way, no rookie quarterbacks won a playoff game since Russell Wilson here at FedEx in 2012. I think the story afterwards, unfairly, will be Josh Allen. Man, that contract was because you were going to win this game for Buffalo. There's a lot on his plate this week.
And here's what's happened down the stretch: their offense, all this year, really. It's not what it was last year. Last year, just everything was at maximum efficiency. It was awesome. It was humming. Josh Allen was great. More and more and more seems to be falling on his shoulders. How many more highlights? Just anecdotally, but how many more highlights now when you're watching Red Zone? It's just nothing's happening, and Josh Allen just sort of scrambles around and works his way for a first down or a touchdown or something like that.
Well, that second seems like stuff's game against this Patriots team was probably his best game of the year on the road. 314 yards, 3 touchdowns, turnover-free performance. But it's probably got to be something like that again, right? And I'm just not sure if that's a fair ask. This is a really, really good defense, and the temperature is just frigid. And go back historically. There was a writer who wrote about this week. When the weather is below a certain mark, and I think it's around like teens, like 18 degrees, 15 degrees, something like that, when you get into the single digits in temperature, quarterback numbers just fall off a cliff.
They just do.
It's just receivers running routes, have a hard time staying focused, and catching the ball becomes difficult. So to just go out and ask for Josh Allen to be Superman, I think it is a tall order.
I think that's the expectation, by the way. I think he has to be.
His arm is probably the strongest in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think about that when you're drafting a player for an outdoor stadium in Buffalo, New York. And they did. I mean, he can slice it through any 10 to 12 mile an hour winds this weekend. So those are your two games on Saturday. Let's pivot to Sunday. The Philadelphia Eagles on the road to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Eagles get in as the wild card team out of the NFC East. Tampa Bay wins the NFC South. Bucs are getting healthier. Now, we don't know yet who's in and who's out, but they have activated 5 key players from their Super Bowl run in the last 2 weeks, and 3 of them just within the last 24 hours or so off of the injured reserve to start practicing again. They could get Shaq Barrett back, one of their better edge rushers. They could plug a lot of pieces like Chris Godwin back in if they can extend this run over the next couple of weeks. They're an 8.5-point favorite at home. Total of the game is 45.5.
Reminds me an awful lot, honestly, of Washington last year, this Philly team. They've been whisper quiet pretty good. Pretty good down the stretch as they won 6 of 7. Their one lone loss, a just an embarrassing performance at the hands of the Giants. One of the worst games of the season anybody played, let alone this team. But they just handled their business against some mediocre to poor opponents. Defensively, all of a sudden, they've got a little bit more sound. They're pretty good up front. Their secondary improved as the year went on. They know who they are. They're the best running team in the NFL. Jalen Hurts helps that. Miles Sanders looks like he might be coming back, which will help them a little bit. Just another body back there in the backfield. They kind of have nothing to lose. If they drop this game, they're not supposed to win it. It's defending champs. It's Tom Brady. They got 3 first-round picks next year. A little devil-may-care attitude here for Philadelphia.
Something going for the Eagles here that I didn't anticipate working in their favor. I'm giving you some weather reports as we go through. Tampa, Florida. You'd expect Tampa, St. Pete. It's what it always is, right?
Hot and muggy.
Sunday, when this game kicks off, they are calling for potential driving rain and 25-mile-per-hour winds.
Oh.
Which team runs the ball better? The Eagles, who run the ball better than any team in the NFL, or the Bucks?
That's the Eagles.
Now, do I think they're going to win the game? Absolutely not. Am I still extremely tempted to take Tampa Bay to cover 8.5? I am. But if there is actual hard rain and a extreme wind in the forecast and those conditions play out, you can't tell me that doesn't favor the way the Eagles do their business. That would be a huge benefit. If I'm Nick Sirianni, I'm just crossing my fingers and hoping
I'm doing rain dances,
that
man.
That happens.
I'm Kevin Costner, Bull Durham. I'm turning the sprinklers on, too. Let's go.
The Bucks, though, have something going for them as well. Their quarterback is Tom Brady.
Well, they have a lot of good players. They got obviously got a very good front. They're really settled in at linebacker. They're playing really well at linebacker. And, you know, they got a very veteran secondary who's playing very well together. Talented players at all the positions. They're, you know, a very good defense. They make you earn everything. You know, you make a mistake, you get a penalty, you're going to punt. You know, the ball gets batted up in the air, they're going to intercept it. You hold on the ball too long, they're going to strip sack it. So it's a team that just doesn't let you off the hook. And I think they do a good job of their coverages. They show enough disguise. You know, they're all covering for one another. There's really good communication. I can tell that. So really well-coached defense with, you know, a lot of good players. It makes it, you know, tough for the offense to score.
Before everyone calls me an Eagles hater for my next point, remember that about a month ago, I said they're definitely making the playoffs.
You did say that. You're right.
I was wrong about them at the beginning of the year. I thought they were going to be bad. But here's where you're going to call me an Eagles hater. They're a bit of a fraud. They beat nobody this year.
That's why I said they remind me of Washington last year.
They are Washington from a year ago, man. That's what they are. They beat the Falcons. Cool, I guess. By the way, Matt Ryan, in terms of opponent quarterback, was the best one they beat this year. They then lost big to the Cowboys, lost big to the Chiefs. They beat the Panthers at a point where I think Sam Darnold was quarterbacking for them, who would end up losing his job. They beat the Lions, Jared Goff. That was a blowout, by the way, 44-6. They lost to the Chargers. Then they beat the Broncos and Teddy Bridgewater. The best win that they have on their resume is the Saints, who almost made the playoffs, and that was the Trevor Siemian-led Saints. So again, they played a backup quarterback. They beat the Jets. They beat the Giants with Jake Fromm. They beat Washington with Garrett Gilbert. They beat Washington with Taylor Heineke. Their regular season, I think, was built on a house of cards, and that is why I don't think they pushed the Bucks in this game. The one equalizer would be if Brady has a terrible game because it's windy and it's raining and the ball's slipping out of people's hands. Then all of a sudden, the fact that the Eagles run it well, because they run it better than anybody, that could be a big factor.
This game is fascinating for that reason. And again, look at Washington last year. I can't escape those parallels. There was no reason they should have been in that game, and yet there they were. That's what this reminds me of, where Philadelphia, the whole world knows they're not as good as Tampa Bay. You play 99 times, you lose 99 times, but not that 100th time. Cue Herb Brooks' speech in Miracle, man.
We got through 3 games. We've got 3 more to cover here on Grant and Danny as we preview the 6-game slate that lies ahead in the NFL playoffs. The other of the questions, though, we want to pose to you guys, and we can open up the Gambit DC listener lines on this next. We were talking about specific player earlier in the segment and Josh Allen, who's got a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah.
Who could be a coach, could be a player, could be a team. Who has the most pressure on them this weekend? You can call us at 800-636-1067 to answer that question now. We'll give you our thoughts next, and we will finish our preview of the full weekend slate. One more game to get to from Monday Night Football and the 2 games in the late part of the window on Sunday. You're listening to The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan, and we are looking ahead to a gigantic weekend in the NFL. The playoffs finally here. Kickoff at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. Two games tomorrow, three on Sunday, and then the Monday night football game for the first time ever. Can't wait to see how that plays out. I'm excited about it. I see some people complaining that we have to wait till Monday to conclude the postseason, not to mention that there's some fear that maybe if you win on Monday and then you have a quicker turnaround, it's unfair because your opponent probably has more rest. I'm chalking that up as people complain about everything. I like Monday Night Football. I like an extra game to look forward to. Where are you at on this?
I'm in, and I'm sure these teams will be just fine. That, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's beat up, everyone's
whether
tired.
The Rams or the Cardinals advance, they're not going to lose next round because they played on Monday.
Yeah, they're probably, you know, if they've got to go Monday to Saturday, okay, maybe
I could do that.
Maybe I could gripe a little bit, but you know, I guarantee you everyone will be fine.
I'll kill the NFL if they make them play on Saturday, because that's just foolish. It doesn't make sense. Give them the Sunday slate. I will talk to Benjamin Solak about the opening weekend's worth of games coming up at 3. He's with The Ringer. Remember, we got tickets that could be yours to go see one of the hot comedy shows in town in the next couple of weeks. We'll do that at the end of the hour, right around 2:53 or so. So make sure you're listening at that time. Let's dive back into games 4 through 6 this weekend, starting with the 4:30 game. This is a CBS telecast. Weirdly enough, two NFC teams, and we're going to get the Romo Nance call.
Isn't it weird?
A little bit. Romo's going back to his old stomping grounds. Jerry's World in Dallas, San Francisco 49ers, Dallas Cowboys. Maybe the best game of the weekend. Certainly will be the highest rated game of the weekend. The line right now, this one has not moved since it opened, interestingly enough. Cowboys, 3-point favorites. Total is 51. San Francisco earned their way into this tournament. They started the year 2-4. They had a grueling schedule down the stretch, needed some wins against good teams. They went 2-0 against the Rams, as an example, or else probably wouldn't have gotten in. In fact, the Saints had the tiebreaker.
That's right.
And would have surpassed them had the 49ers not have beaten the Rams in Week 18. Meanwhile, for Dallas, Danny, they scored 50 points in two of their last three games. They hit the 50 mark. A lot of people are over-talking about that and how great this offense is now. But if you really look at it, they scored 50-plus on Washington during the COVID week for the football team. They scored 50-plus on the Eagles when they benched most of their starters on defense. If you want to think that they've just solved all their problems and Dak is in a good spot, you do that. He's actually been up and down, and offensively, they weren't quite right. They haven't been able to pick up yards on the ground when they've needed them. So it sounds funny to say this with the two recent 50-point performances, but I haven't liked what I've seen from the Cowboys' offense in December and in late November.
And against good teams, if they don't turn you over, because that's what their defense is about, they're going to give up completions and rushing yards and first downs and third down conversions, etc. But against good teams, forget about, you know, they didn't turn Philadelphia over a bunch. But as you said, they benched all their players. It didn't really matter. If you don't get a bunch of turnovers and you're Dallas, you're all of a sudden in danger of teams racking up some points and some yards on you. Look no further than that Arizona Cardinals game, right? No turnovers forced in that game. They ended up losing it there at home. Quality opponent again in San Francisco. If Jimmy G takes care of the ball, if there are no fluke fumbles, these are ifs now, San Francisco can absolutely not only play in this game, getting the ball to Deebo Samuel, George Kittle and company, with Trent Williams hopefully back if you're a 49ers fan, San Francisco can not only hang, they can absolutely win this game outright.
As evidenced by them only being 3-point dogs on the road. I mean, that tells you what you need to about what the odds makers think. We were talking about the pressure that is on Josh Allen to play great this weekend. I think you could say the same about Dak. Remember, he got the massive $40-plus million AAV contract as well. He's one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in league history. And look at the weapons around Dak. CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. I know Michael Gallup got hurt, but Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. They now have a first-team All-Pro corner who led the league in interceptions in Trayvon Diggs. They have the Defensive Rookie of the Year who is going to get some nominations for Defensive Player of the Year in Micah Parsons. There's a lot going well for you as the quarterback of the team to try to put them in a good position. Mike McCarthy's under some pressure. They didn't make the playoffs last year with the Dak injury. If they lose before they get going in the postseason, when everyone knew they were going to win the NFC East from about week five on, it would be a really, really bad look. Here's Prescott on some of those postseason pressures.
I mean, I do what I normally do. I don't know necessarily why people have labeled the word pressure as such a bad thing, honestly. I think it creates high expectations and high standards, and it usually creates high results. So for me, it's just about being who I am, staying true to that, knowing who I am, preparing the same way that I have and that I do, trusting the people around me, trusting the play callers and my preparation, and then just going out there and playing the game that I love without any hesitation.
Grant, why do you like Dak? Listen to that answer, every answer he's ever given. Just an awesome dude. Really, really dig him. Hope he plays well, and I hope San Francisco beats the Cowboys this weekend. 8:15, final of the games on Sunday. Biggest line of the weekend. Could be lopsided here. The Pittsburgh Steelers were the last team to sneak into the playoffs. They needed some help. Chargers, Raiders, don't tie. They almost did. Pittsburgh, one last ride for Ben Roethlisberger, is here, and now they are flying to Kansas City. They will take on the Chiefs. Again, 8:15 Eastern. This is your nationally televised Sunday night football game. Jack Collinsworth will be there. 12.5 point spread here. Kansas City is minus 12.5. Under 46, if you like that. I can't ever go with a 46-point line with the Chiefs in a game and take an under. But Danny, the Steelers are being completely disrespected. And I know people keep watching Ben Roethlisberger and they're like, get that away from me. That's disgusting. Ben had the line of the tournament so far yesterday. He basically said, well, you guys already saw. We have no chance here. We're going to get destroyed, so we know that. We know we can't beat them. We're just going out there to have a little fun, and it's our last time to play together.
Just really well done.
I thought that was perfect.
Two things. One, I want you to know that everybody notices, and it is funny, the Collinsworth bit that you do. I love it. I don't want it to go unmarked. I'm marking it. I'm a fan.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. The second thing I'm saying here is, you remember a couple years ago, this is a weird analogy, but this is what it reminds me of. Do you remember the same night when the Golden State Warriors were going for their record-setting regular season win total? They're going for 72 wins?
Of course.
The same night was Kobe Bryant's last game. And we're sitting there, what's the best theater? What's the best theater? Of course it's Golden State. And I'm going, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to watch Kobe Bryant jack up 50 shots or whatever the hell he's going to do. And of course, I think he scored 50 points and it was awesome in his post-game speech and everything else. That's what this reminds me of. This is not the best game of the weekend. It's the worst game of the weekend. It's the mismatch. Pittsburgh's offense is ugly. It's gross. It's reprehensible. It's sad. And yet, I'm going to watch the hell out of this thing with great interest because it's the last ride of Ben Roethlisberger. There's been ups and downs, a lot of downs, most of the things off the field. That's a Hall of Famer, his last time. Mike Tomlin is just an absolute star. They've got offensive pieces. There's one more little bit of magic here. I guarantee you that game has some kind of intrigue.
You realize, though, that one of the things that I always buy into is when Mike Tomlin's getting several points, you take Mike Tomlin. Because he's going to coach the heck out of his team. I just can't do it here. We saw this game 19 days ago, literally 19 days ago, on December 26th.
Yeah.
In that game, Kansas City led 14-0 after one. They led 25-0 at the half. They led 32-3 after three.
But then what happened?
Well, then they just stopped playing football.
Oh.
And in the end, they won 36-10 in that game. the Steelers got a garbage time touchdown late. In fact, Mason Rudolph finished that game for Pittsburgh. I think it will be closer than that. I don't know how much closer it will be. Tyrann Mathieu, the great safety from Kansas City, trying to get us to watch this game.
You know, obviously a couple weeks ago, the game didn't go, you know, the way that they wanted it to. I think as a team, we were able to kind of, you know, get off to a fast start. I don't think we're necessarily expecting it to be that kind of ball game. You know, just watching these guys the last couple weeks, you know, even before we played them, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, this was a big four-quarter team, you know, second half team, you know. So for us, I think coming into this game, we understand it's going to be a four-quarter game, possibly more. And then, you know, you're dealing with a quarterback that has really all the experience in the world. You know, he's won two championships. You know, he's been to the playoff a bunch. And then he has some great talent around him as well. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us. I think for us, it's all about, you know, how we start the game and then how we finish, you know, Sunday.
One final game on the slate, and that is on Monday Night Football, the Cardinals and the Rams. Like the Patriots and the Bills, it's always fun when you get division rivals going at it for a third time in a season. Arizona's catching 3.5 points in L.A. Los Angeles, not unlike Dallas, by the way, is one of the worst home field advantage situations among all the playoff teams. In fact, Matthew Stafford's wife, I believe her name is Kelly Stafford. I could be wrong about that. But she does a podcast, apparently.
Oh.
I didn't know that. I'm not really sure why. But she does a podcast where she, like, breaks down stuff. And if I was Matthew Stafford, I don't know, that could probably get me in some trouble sometimes. If every opinion she has, people are going to be like, is that Matthew's opinion or her opinion? She's like, I really think you should have caught that ball. The assumption is just that Matthew Stafford is mad at Cooper Kupp now. Anyway, she's a podcast. She's a big girl. She can do what she wants. And she had the opinion, basically, where she said the home field advantage was awful this past week when they played San Francisco. And she said that basically Matthew Stafford was going to the silent count and Jimmy Garoppolo was not, and that was unacceptable. And she was imploring Rams fans to not sell their tickets to Cardinals fans. Does this sound like anything you've ever heard of, by the way? Anybody familiar with anything like this?
Except they're really good.
She was just begging Rams fans, please don't give your tickets to Cardinals fans. 8:15, they'll kick this thing off. The Rams won in Arizona late in the year. Arizona pummeled the Rams in L.A. earlier this year. The Cardinals, weirdly, much better road team than home team. They are on the road for Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, Arizona, I think, was 8-1 at home, if I've got that right. They were unbelievable on the road and just a pedestrian group of people at home. This is a weird, weird situation here. Arizona comes kind of limping in. They were 1-4 down the stretch. They only won a narrow victory over the Cowboys. Didn't play particularly well. When they had something on the line, maybe they had a chance to win the division. Had they beat Seattle, couldn't muster that. Gave up a bunch of points there. Lost to the Lions. They got blown out in that one. It's weird. They're limping in, and yet I like them here this weekend in this spot. Simply, again, because they're on the road, and they beat the pants off of the Rams the first time they did that earlier this season. And I think there's so much pressure on the Rams, they are going to feel it.
You think they win the game?
I've got this little gut, this little thing in my gut.
Wow.
I got a little gut feel. It could be indigestion.
I look forward to double-clicking on that indigestion a little bit later on.
Could be. It's rumbling. There's a rumbling.
5:00, we've got our confidence points picks. I'm always confident that Kyler Murray is going to make some unbelievably impressive plays. The problem is that sometimes he throws the oh-no ball, too. 10 interceptions this year, kept both teams in the game at times while having a pretty marvelous season circuit to circuit. He's getting ready for a huge playoff performance.
The playoffs is Monday night in L.A. With the only game on TV, I don't know how you cannot feel a certain way about it or be juiced up about it, you know. I was raised that way, you know. You got to show up when the team needs you. So, like, again, it's on us, you know. We got to go out here and prepare well this week and go out and execute on Monday. There's nothing else that really needs to be said about it.
Kyler Murray, deep voice guy.
Deep voice guy. 5'8", deep voice.
Sneaky deep voice. I don't know why I expect it to be like, oh, something more like this. But it, yeah, deep voice guy.
Dude, his voice is 6'6".
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
His voice is probably too tall to play quarterback, like Paxton Lynch. You know, his voice is 6'7".
He's a little too many moving parts. He's 6'7" right. With that
he's
voice.
Got a long release. It's that Jason Campbell kind of C in the pocket.
That's very Paxton Lynch bowl, by the way.
Thank you.
Very Brock Osweiler.
His voice has some Brock Osweiler to it. Paxton Hall Yoshida, any file?
No file at all.
Paxton Hall-Yoshida is like a really good-looking kid in this show that I watched.
Okay.
Called, I think it's called Never Have I Ever. It's on Netflix. It's like a high school angsty show. It's very funny. My wife is all in.
Okay.
And Paxton Hall-Yoshida is like the hunk in the show.
Say that last name slowly.
I think it's hyphenated. I think it's Hall-Yoshida.
Oh, okay. Now I'm getting it.
Like D'Angelo Hall and then Yoshida.
Then something else. Got it. Okay.
But anyway, that's when I think of Paxton, that's who I think of first, and then Paxton Lynch second. Because in all fairness, Paxton Lynch did nothing to earn top billing for the Paxtons. Has he? Really?
He was nasty at Memphis for like a minute, just throwing sideways passes, throwing wide receiver screens.
But you don't mean a minute like how people normally like it, like really long. You mean a minute like for 60 seconds.
Yeah. They ran a hurry up one time and he completed like six straight.
He did that one.
Paxton.
End of next segment. We've got tickets to go see Andrew Santino's comedy show in D.C. Make sure you're listening. At 3:25, we've got yet another update today on the name change reveal on February 2nd and something that could be happening that day. So we'll get into that on Grant and Danny. But next, we're going to rank who's got the most pressure on them. Could be a team, could be a player, could be a coach. As far as these playoff games go, and we'll get your thoughts on that. So if you want to chime in, do it now, 800-636-1067, or tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
About 5 minutes away from giving away some tickets to a show a lot of people in town want to go to. Make sure you're listening. Grant and Danny on the Fan, Benjamin Solak coming up top of the hour from The Ringer to help us dive further into this weekend's batch of NFL playoff games. Stands to reason that just about every quarterback or coach has a lot to lose or gain with the game that they're participating in this weekend. But who would you say the most pressure is on? Danny and I have put together top three lists. But let's see what you guys think. JaVale's in Culpeper. JaVale, you're on G&D. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy.
If I had to pick one team, man, I would say the Rams,
yep.
Man. I definitely would say the Rams. Since McVay got there, their owner and general manager, you know, they have let him basically do whatever he has wanted to do, and they have gone all in. You know, not just this shit with Matt Stafford. You have to look at Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, also adding Odell Beckham. I believe they've traded all of their picks except for three or four in this, you know, this upcoming draft in 2022. So if you had to pick one team, one coach, I definitely say Sean McVay and the Rams.
So it's a great answer. And in fact, if they don't add a first round pick at some point in the near future, they're on pace to go seven straight years without taking a first round pick based on what's already happened and what they're now projected to have moving forward. G on Twitter said the same thing. He said McVay's under the most pressure. They went all in on Stafford. Too much talent on that team not to win at least one game and make a run. No first rounders until 2024. It'd be one thing not to win the Super Bowl. Like if they get to the NFC Championship game, play a really good game against the Packers, let's say at Lambeau, and lose. Even though I still think it was a failed experiment, you can make the case they got to the conference championship game, last two in the NFC, last four overall. If you lose in your division to a Cardinals team that hasn't mortgaged its future, that hasn't done anything.
You lose in the wild card round, it's a different animal, man.
And, oh, by the way, they'll have taken you out two out of three games. You lost twice to San Francisco. Like, you're not even holding up against NFC West teams at that point.
So since they've been doing this, they're 11-5, 13-3, 9-7, 10-6, 12-5 now, right? So they've had some success, and I put that in quotes. They got to a Super Bowl and lost it. This is a unique outside-the-box approach that nobody else is doing and nobody else has done. There's going to be a time to pay the bill, and that might come soon. My answer here is Les Snead. He's the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams. You see where we're all going here. They have gone all in with all the different players that JaVale mentioned.
So Rams were number one for me, not just Snead, but McVay, Stafford. There's a lot on the line for all of those members of that organization, so we can move along. Number two, I've got Belichick. If that sounds like a little bit of a hipster hot take, let me explain it. I'm kind of working back from what's going to be said about you. And I just think if he's able to win, like, what's the difference between going on a run or not? We could be next year in a situation where the Patriots are either in the playoffs and don't go on a run or not in the playoffs. And he could be 3 years removed from Brady leaving and everyone saying, see, you only had playoff success because of your quarterback. Whereas if he's able to do it with Mac Jones, it answers all those critics. It shuts everybody up. So I got Belichick second.
I have the Dallas Cowboys second. There's always extra pressure when you are, you know, in the focal point, the eye of the storm. Jerry Jones expects you to win the Super Bowl every single year. You had the number one offense in the NFL, number one in points scored, number two in yards per play. You are a juggernaut. You should be absolutely rolling through these first couple rounds with these pretenders. And yet, if they don't, there'll be lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of questions.
Third for me, on the podium, but they're not playing his music as the flag gets lifted to the rafters. Josh Allen, who signed a six-year, $258 million contract with the Bills, they have said since before the first day of training camp, they're in Super Bowl mode. They were in the AFC Championship game last year. They thought, coming into this year, they could win a Super Bowl. You can't lose in the first round to a division rival and go 1-2 against them. And, oh, by the way, they're quarterbacked by a guy in Mac Jones who's kind of a shell of what you are. I know that's not how football works, but Josh Allen needs to play well. If they lose and he plays great, no problem. But if he stinks up the joint, he's the reason why they lose, I would not want to be Josh Allen come Monday.
What were you doing in 1990?
I was two.
Yeah, that's when the Cincinnati Bengals last won a playoff game. It's been a long, long, long time. The kids, their first chance to do this, Joe Burrow and company, this is a huge, huge, huge test.
Pressure on them, though? Seems like house money for them.
Well, to me, this is one of those times you don't know how you're going to react. The first time the lights are brighter, the first time it matters, that city, it matters so much because they haven't done this in 30 years. It's a big deal.
Caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You're winning two tickets to see Andrew Santino, Tito Cheeto Tour, January 15th, coming up tomorrow at the Warner Theater in D.C. Buy your tickets now at LiveNation.com, courtesy of Live Nation. Benjamin Solak, really sharp NFL analyst from The Ringer, is going to join us next. And at 3:25, another update on the 2-2-22 reveal of the new name here in town. We've got some details for you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.